It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down Governor Evers' Safer at Home order. In a split decision yesterday, the justices sided with Republican lawmakers who argued Department of Health Services had exceeded its authority. The governor told reporters last night,
"They have provided no plan. There's no question among anybody that people are going to get sick. And the Republicans own that chaos."
Will you resume your pre-pandemic routines or will you continue to shelter in place? How are you feeling about this decision? We're at 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Good morning.
So Chief Justice Patience Rogensack spoke on the court's decision. What did the high court say here?
The High Court, in a 4-3 decision that was written by Chief Justice Rogensack, said that the Department of Health Services, under the leadership of Secretary Andrea Palm, had issued an order that went beyond her authority, that she violated the law by issuing this order without running it through the legislature first, through the legislature's administrative rulemaking process. So, you know, in other words, by not putting this through a legislative committee first, where the legislature would have veto power, the court said that Palm broke the law, and they struck down, the entire order in a way, although they did keep a part of the order in place that lets the state close schools statewide. So schools remain closed, even though the entire order was struck down by the court.
The Republican lawmakers had wanted the court to keep the stay-at-home order in place for a 6-day period to negotiate new rules about COVID-19, but the court didn't go that direction.
They did not. And Chief Justice Rogensack, in a pretty unusual move, issued a concurrence to her majority opinion, which she wrote, and said that she would have been open to the 6-day stay. But she didn't have anybody join her in that concurrence. And so it doesn't stand. And so the court was asked by the legislature to give a delay to craft a new rule. They did not grant that delay. And so the court's decision takes effect immediately.
And this decision was 4-3. We saw one of the court's conservative justices, Brian Hagedorn, who joined the two liberal justices in voting against the lawsuit. What did Hagedorn say in his dissent?
It was a lengthy and, stinging dissent is maybe the word. I think there will be many cases in the probably near future where Justice Brian Hagedorn writes an opinion that Democrats do not like. But in this case, he was defending Andrea Palm. He said that she was following the laws that were passed by a previous legislature that granted the DHS this authority. Looking over his dissent, he said, quote, "We are a court of law. We are not here to do freewheeling constitutional theory. In a case of this magnitude, we must be precise." He goes on and says that in striking down most of this order, the court has strayed from its charge and turned this case into something quite different than the case that was brought to us. The legislature may have buyer's remorse for the breadth of discretion it gave to DHS, but those are the laws it drafted. We must read them faithfully, whether we like them or not.
Whether we like them or not. So he was sticking very closely to the letter of the law there. Rebecca Dallet, one of the court's liberal justices, dissented, and she wrote about it being a blatant example of activism on the court. What do you see there in her dissent?
Yeah, it would be interesting to get kind of a scorecard of how many times these justices charged other justices with activism. In this case, it's a 161-page opinion. The majority opinion it was written by one justice, joined by four. You have a concurring opinion by Rogensack, another one by Rebecca Bradley, another one by Justice Kelly. I'll stop because I would have to go on and on. Everyone kind of had their say here. And Justice Rebecca Bradley, the most outspoken conservative on the court, is framing her analysis around the Constitution and saying that the legislative branch can't delegate this much authority to the executive branch, even if it wants to, essentially, that is a violation of constitutional liberties. You know, she had some strong words for Hagedorn and his dissent and vice versa. I mean, he's very critical of Rebecca Bradley and Justice Kelly, who also wrote a dissent along similar lines.
So it sounds like the justices are very deeply divided on this issue. What do we know out of the legislature right now, and specifically the rulemaking committee? Do we know whether there's any negotiation going on with the governor?
It doesn't seem like it in their public statements. The Republican leaders of the legislature issued a statement last night that, I mean, it did not indicate that they want to move swiftly on returning any kind of statewide stay-at-home order. So the way this process works is that the rule has to be, you know, promulgated by the Evers administration. You know, they start with a scope statement. There are myriad steps through the rulemaking process that could take, 12 days, according to the attorney for the legislature, or more like at least 18 days, according to the governor. But according to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, they're going to work with the governor on the framework for what the legislature does going forward. But in their words, they want, quote, clear guidance in case COVID-19 reoccurs in a more aggressive way. That's not language that says we need clear guidance right now. Right now, they're saying that this is a new phase and that Wisconsin citizens are up to the task of fighting the virus. They talk about social distancing, hand washing, hand sanitizer usage, and telecommuting. And they leave it at that. So, I mean, they may be okay with counties handling this thing, which is what's happening right now. Counties and municipalities are taking public health orders into their own hands.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. He also co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. We're looking at the ruling yesterday from the Wisconsin State Supreme Court that overruled the Safer at Home order. With your thoughts along the way here, 800-642-1234. Mary from Union Grove called in, couldn't stay with us. Mary says that they're going to shelter in place even for now. And Mary says it's going to get scarier out there. Sean, do we have any sentiment about what will be happening in individual communities and how communities will be tackling COVID-19 individually?
So, I mean, we just saw a little flavor of what that's going to look like last night. It was pretty quick after the court's decision that Dane County stepped in and said it was going to issue its own stay-at-home order that took language from the states. So, you know, there's a response in Dane County. Saw a video posted elsewhere of a bar in Platteville, which, you know, according to the bar's Twitter account, the bar was full 45 minutes after the decision. They showed video of people sitting closely, nobody wearing masks. You know, there's no social distancing going on at all. So that's how it's being, responded to there. I think you're going to get a pretty, a lot of snapshots along that spectrum today and in the days ahead, as different parts of this state and different people react to this differently. But there's statewide suggestions for how businesses reopen, but there's no rules. You know, they can kind of do their own thing here.
Let's take Mike now in Racine. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you guys doing? I just wanted to say that I agree with the ruling of the courts here in Wisconsin. I believe that any government doesn't have the right to supersede our Constitution or Bill of Rights and tell people how to live, even regardless of danger. I think that we are very intelligent communities. I think that we know what's best for ourselves. I think that we're capable of doing the social, I mean, we proved that in the beginning of this whole pandemic, that we all took time, We all did what was right. We all quarantined for these 2 weeks originally and even longer when necessary. But when you give government the power, it's very unlikely that they'll give it back 100%.
Mike,
I know the world has changed. Yes.
Yeah, Mike, thank you so much. And I want to ask you specifically, will your plans change now going forward in terms of what you do and your routines and where you go?
So, yes, of course, because my father, I live with my father, and he's susceptible. He's had cancer. Last time he had pneumonia, he was hospitalized for 7 days. So my family is being very cautious. I've learned how to do things I never thought I could, like bake my own bread, make my own pasta noodles. It's cheaper, more delicious, and more nutritious. But at some point, we're going to have to face the facts that we are all going to be involved in this virus because there's not enough people wearing proper PPE, respectfully.
Well, Mike, thank you for sharing your situation. And Sean, I'm sure that every individual situation is all very different here.
And I mean, I think that is kind of what we have now. I mean, there's no state authority at this point to enforce something different, on a 72 county basis. So it is a situation where businesses can be asked to do things differently. They can be asked to follow guidelines that were laid down by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. But, you know, we've already seen that they're not all going to do that. And, we'll see what that means for the spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin.
We're with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. What questions do you have about the legal arguments surrounding the state Supreme Court ruling? Do you think the battle in suppressing COVID-19 has become politicized? How would you get lawmakers on the same page? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Sean Johnson here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling last night that struck down the statewide stay-at-home order. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The High Court ruled in favor of Republicans in a challenge to an extension that was issued by the governor's health secretary, arguing that she had exceeded her authority. We have WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson staying with us for the explainer. Let's take another call now. Barb is here from Rice Lake. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I'm wondering, now that we've had this, what I consider totally political decision, it's now the law, how is this going to affect schools? Are schools going to have to open?
Barb, yeah, you're breaking up just a bit, but Barb is wanting to know about schools. Sean, what's next?
So, I mean, this is interesting because the majority's opinion concludes in kind of no uncertain language that the order that was issued by Andrea Palm is declared unlawful, invalid, and unenforceable. That order included the statewide closure of schools. But what the majority did is in a footnote, actually in a footnote and nowhere else in the opinion, it carved out the closure of schools and said that their order does not apply to that. So the bottom line is the state DHS can still close schools and that school closure remains in effect. Schools are still closed. The majority opinion does not go into why it drew that distinction between other parts of her order. I mean, I know the law grants her kind of explicit power to close schools in the name of fighting communicable diseases, but the law also grants explicit power to do other things which have now been overturned.
As we're talking with Secretary Designee Andrea Palm of the Department of Health Services, and Sean, summer camps still hang in the balance then?
I do not know what's going to happen there. I mean, the governor was asked about schools just last week. And, you know, whether as he moves to reopen businesses, you know, that last week he was talking about a slow reopening of businesses. He was asked if that would apply to schools, too. And obviously circumstances have changed now, but he was pretty unequivocal back then that, no, they weren't going to do that. and they would be looking to have a reopening for the next school year. So I don't know what that means for the summer, what that means for the state's view of what school activities can happen over the summer. Mm-hmm. It seems like the state still has the power to regulate school activities in these situations. So it could
especially
be
with camps
decide.
That occur on school properties.
Right. I mean, if it's a private camp, it could be a different issue. But if it's in any way affiliated with the school system, seems like that call could be up to the Department of Health Services.
Matt from Wausau emailed and wants to know why Justice Dan Kelly got a say in this ruling when he was defeated in the April statewide election.
His term runs, through July 31st. So the new justice, Jill Karofsky, will not take office until August 1st. And so anything that comes before the court between now and then, Justice Kelly gets to rule on. That 5-2 conservative majority remains intact. He does not leave, after his election loss.
Let's bring in Chris in Appleton. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. How do you feel about the ruling? What is on your mind?
I think it's infuriating because none of them are quote unquote essential, and they're definitely not putting their lives on the line at all. And it's like they have low or no grasp of any social responsibility at all to their fellow humans.
Chris, how have you been conducting yourself during the Safer at Home order? What are your circumstances?
My circumstances are that I'm a human who does not want to spread COVID, and so I've been wearing a mask, practicing social distancing, and following the Safer at Home order because it's logical. It's the rational thing to do.
Chris, thanks for your call. Let's bring in Scott now in Madison. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I'm curious, does this ruling mean that the legislature and the court are going to have to meet in chambers from today forward, or do they get a 6-day lien, or how does this work for those people?
Scott, thanks.
As in, like, do they have to meet in person, that kind of thing?
Yes, sir.
It would be their call. I mean, I don't think there's anything scheduled for the legislature to reconvene anyway. I think it is noteworthy that the Wisconsin Supreme Court issued an order that postponed jury trials until May 22nd. So that order is still in place. And of course, they met virtually for oral arguments in this case. So they're, you've heard justices say they're not talking about essentially whether an idea is good or not when it comes to fighting COVID-19. They've tried to frame it as more narrow, and focused on the law in this case. Of course, those decisions have pretty real world effects on, how the state can fight this virus.
Let's go to Rich now in Rhinelander. Rich, hi.
Thanks. Just the two-word phrase, reckless endangerment, is going to, with this Supreme Court decision, create what I would call the Wisconsin Lawyers Full Employment Act. There are going to be so many consequences out of this decision in terms of people saying, we got infected because people were not practicing safe business practices. And I just think it's a silly decision. I also suddenly like Brian Hagedorn, which I didn't think was possible. But
Sean, with the high court ruling, though, will this set off a wave of litigation because the Wisconsin Supreme Court is the top?
In state court, they are the court of final resort. So, if somebody wanted to bring a case in state court and complain about the ruling by the Supreme Court justices, they'd be the ones that hear it. I would watch what happens, in Congress here as they continue to address the coronavirus and whether there is a push by Republicans there to, you know, shield businesses from lawsuits that are brought, you know, kind of on the grounds mentioned there, that, you know, that a business endangered people because they didn't enforce social distancing or something along those lines.
So the State Chamber of Commerce, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, they had a plan proposing allowing all the state's businesses to open at once, but asking high-risk establishments to make some safety measures. What are the high-risk establishments? Do we have any clarity there?
So I think the example that was given in, you know, like in WMC's instance, would be a movie theater in a city, for example, is kind of the example that they gave. Their plan did call for, you know, if you really get down to it, they talked about a regional approach, but it was at the end of the day a statewide reopening, just with more restrictions in some places and fewer restrictions in others. Now you have businesses pointing to guidelines put out by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. These are guidelines. They're not laws. And they tell businesses what they should do. You know, they suggest that, you know, like a tavern, people who come in contact with customers, they suggest face masks, but they don't have to do that. You know, a bar owner does not have to do that. And just talking with the Tavern League last night, you know, they said they could expect some bars to do it, maybe in larger cities, and some bars in smaller communities to not take that advice.
Which is probably where we heard the governor there declare we're in the Wild West.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everything's a suggestion at this point. You know, there's no enforcement. Part of this decision is that the court said that the DHS can't enforce criminal penalties on someone in the name of public health, that only the legislature can do that. So if the DHS can't do that, they lose enforcement power when it comes to these types of orders.
Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio, co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Coming up, we talk with a pair of professors about the future of travel. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.